Mishin Mem, we did through Siftal, and Siftal, the Mishnah Berurah, proceeds to present a very long presentation on various different halachos of Kosev. So on page 380, on the bottom, on the right column towards the bottom, he discusses finishes the halachos of Kosev, discusses some halachos of Moichek, and then the second to last line he says Va'atzo Navar Ksas Minyanei Mechika B'Sirtut. I want to clarify some points about Moichek and Sirtut. So that's where we're at. A Moichek Ksav Omanas Lichta B'Mokam HaMechak Shtei Hosius Hizkaya. If a person erases something written with intent of being able to by removing what's written there be able to write there to Hosius, so Hizkaya. And therefore, if what he's erasing is one letter, but if it's a large letter, and you can actually write two letters in the place, replace the letter which is being erased with two letters, that's enough to be chayiv. So Mishnah Berurah's shita is that when we say the halacha of Amanas Lichtoiv, which is what the Mishnah says, it's Lavdaf Amanas Lichtoiv, it's Amanas Tasak, and as long as it's being done for a positive purpose, that is sufficient to give it the Mech Michayiv. You don't need Dafka Amanas Lichtoiv. So, what would the example be of a case of it's Amanas Tasak and not Amanas Lichtoiv? There is a Sefer Torah written, and there were some extra letters there. And he erased those letters, thereby correcting the Sefer Torah. So his mechika was positive. So gamza chayv. Kosev v'chayyadim, l'chol melachos chutz mikosev, chayv b'yamino ben mishmoyloi. The chayyadim assumes that the all of the melachos, with the exception of ksiva, which is a very delicate type of an operation, so that requires a person's right hand, but any other melacha doing with the left hand is also chayv. He proves that. But if he does it with his feet, or with his mouth, or with his elbow, so that's only a derabanan. So a person marks off on a paper, or on a cloth, to then use that line to write with, give you a straight line, be able to write with. Now sirtut, which we do in tefillin, mezuzah, sefer Torah, we actually write from the line down. Different than, you know, in English we write on the top of the line. The sirtut, you write below the line. You write from the line down.
Why?
I guess somebody would probably ask you why in the world do people write on top of a line when you can write below the line. Okay.
I'm not sure. Say that again.
You asked why.
Yeah.
It means you're assuming that this is the logical way, so why do they do it that way? So I'm telling you, there's certain people would say that's a logical way. Why do we do that? We do this way. When you write a ksav in the Sefer Torah, most letters, all letters written, the letters of ksav Ashuris. We read the letters from right to left. We write them from left to right. And we write downwards. So a person's writing a resh, he starts on the left and he goes down. So the line makes sense to be on the right where you're starting to write. That's where you have the line to give you a straight line. So all the letters start, since they start from the top and go down, the logic should be that the line which you're using to make it straight is where you're going to be writing, which is right above it, and you write from it downwards. That's what. If you think about it, there's that logic which should apply to English as well. Most letters we start from the top down, and we sort of fit it on the line. Well, maybe you'd have it right below the line, and we'd have a good place to start from. So, I don't know why you say why. I don't know why the way we do it is called logical. In other ways, it's called illogical. I don't know. I think both of them have a strength to them. So the shear of the chiv of sirtut is enough to be able to facilitate writing two letters. Okay.
What's the malach
of sirtut? What is the malach of sirtut? So the Gemara actually has, one Mandamer says that the Lamed Hes malach is that since some of them are similar, so I remember the more it has a kasha that Maleach and Ma'abed are the same Malach, right? Malach and Ma'abed are both listed in the Mishnah. So more says, you're right, take out Molchai, leave Ma'abda, because Molchai and Ma'abda are the same Malacha, and add in Sirtut. Okay. V'chein kishiroitz alaktik or shad devorim, if a person wants to cut an item, and he makes a straight line to thereby facilitate cutting straight. It goes into the Malacha Masarte. Avhuadin Chorashi Eitzim, carpenters. Shemavirin Chud Shal Sikra Agabi Hakara Kadeshi Yinser B'Shava. So they make a marking with red ink to be able to strike, to make sure they cut straight. Hagivlim Shaisim came Bavonim, the bricklayers do that Kadeshi Yifatzel Evan B'Shava. So they were breaking stones to use for their, and they need to break it at the right spot. Okay, calls it b'chol masartet. B'chol masartet b'tseva or b'loy tseva reizachayev. He can do it with ink, or even does it with just making an impression. In the case of the ore, they didn't put ink necessarily. They would take a blunt instrument and press into the hide and or into the cloth and leave a. That depression there, that's also a form of masarte. Hinei Barakti B'Cholzev K'le Levar Eitz Adover Hu D'Raisa Shepater V'Asa Bin Rabbanon. I went through this long list of what's the Raisa, what's the Rabbanon, everything's also. Nafkamina Yidei and Yehudi Malka Mitzvah. It's important to know what's the Raisa, the Rabbanon, because to know what you're allowed to ask a goy to do Malka Mitzvah, you can ask a goy to do a Rabbanon, Shus to Shus, Mirla Akamana Rabbanon. You cannot ask a goy to do a Raisa. Even Malkam Mitzvah, the Kaimalom Shimon, since I thus is the Raisa, ain't Matir Nayade in Yehudi, I feel a Malkam Mitzvah. I'll give you another nafkamina between the Raisas and the Rabbanans. In the case of, we have places which have a suffix in the date line. So many Paiskim, their approach is that one day they pass as a primary day, another day they're Makmer to keep the Raisas. So for example, Hawaii. So according to Hawaii, it's questionable what status it has. Whether the correct day for Shabbos is Friday or Shabbos. That's the Lubavitch, the Moshul, keeps just Shabbos. But if you ask your Litvish Poiskim, they will tell you should keep two days Mesafik, and you'll keep Shabbos as, with the Dinim of Shabbos, with the Kiddush, etc. On Friday, you should Machra on the Rices. So I had this already two or three times. People have asked me the Shiloh. So I had to sit down with them and go through what they can't do on Friday, Thursday night, Friday, because what's the Raisa that you can't do.
We mamish don't know which day it is? I find that hard to believe. In this day and age?
It's not a question of this day and age. It's a question of how does halacha define where the halachic date line is? So why is this day and age more knowledgeable about where the halachic date line is than it was 100 years ago?
I mean,
it's a machlokes in halacha. We're not more knowledgeable in halacha than we were 100 years ago.
But I mean, it's a metzias. I mean, either it's one day or it's another.
Moshe,
yeah.
We need to understand halachically where First of all, there's some opinions that hold that there's no such thing as a dateline. That's a different issue. But assuming there is such a thing as a dateline, which many places can assume that there is, where exactly you draw the dateline halachically, the international dateline was done by convention. It has no halachic status.
Can I give my logic? Or just
do you want to hear what I want to tell you, or do you want to give your logic?
No, I want to hear what you have to say, but to me, it seems completely logical that if you say, okay, Hawaii presumably is a couple of hours before Eretz Yisrael in terms of when the sun from the sunrise, is it considered before or after?
That's the machlokes. That is exactly what the machlokes is. Is it the last place in the world to get for the day to start, or is it the first place in the world for the day to start? Where do you draw the dateline? Do you draw the dateline on this side of it or on this side of it? So if you draw it on this side, they're the first place of the whole world. If you draw it on this side, they're the last place of the whole world. So which one is it? That's Machlokes.
Okay, now I...
So how do you... Why are we more knowledgeable how to answer that question now than we were 100 years ago, where the question was, where do you put the dateline? It's still the same shaila. Okay. Sif Hey.
Wow.
Same shaila. Japan. It's a shaila flipped around. Is either Shabbos or Sunday. It's the same. Also Machlokes. Hawaii the shaila is Friday or Shabbos. Okay. Hey. Mutar Lirshom B'Tziporin Al HaSefer K'moshe Rosh Tzvim L'Simen Shein Zedavar HaMiskayim.
Can I ask another question with regard to this? If we're not sure where it is with regard to Hawaii and Japan, why would China be any different? Why would India be any different? Who's to say that the dateline is in the middle of Iraq?
Okay, there are Gemaras which talk about the concept of when the day starts. There's a book called How to Understand Those Gemaras, but we're not just making up swores out of our stomach.
They call it
in Yiddish bike swores. They're arguing how to understand the points raised by Rishonim, points raised in the Gemara. So, your question is fair. What do you do in a case where the dateline goes through the middle of a continent?
How do we know where the dateline is? Bechlal. Is essentially the question. How do we know that it's not in Iraq?
I'm not going to get involved with giving you the details how we know that. But believe me that there are sugyas of Gomorrah which indicate it's not in Iraq. Okay, I promise you.
And they don't but they're not sure about whether Japan or Hawaii. They probably never knew about Japan. For all I know, they never knew about.
The discussion is not about specific. The discussion is where you define based on degrees how east of Yerushalayim does the day start. The day starts not at Yerushalayim, but east of Yerushalayim. That's a Gemara. So we understand that there is a point in the world where the day starts. How far east is that of Yerushalayim? That is the question. That is what Machlokes is how to understand the Gemara. The Chazon Ish understands that it's 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim. There are some who understand that it's more than that. It's 180 degrees east of Yerushalayim. In other words, Yerushalayim is the halfway point in the middle of the day. Or is Yerushalayim one quarter of the day through the day? That's the Machlokes.
So my question is not so absurd. There are those that say 90. There's a huge difference between 90 degrees and 180 degrees.
Exactly. That's why you have a question where you put certain places. But we don't split continents. So unless you're dealing with islands, like Japan, if any part of it is closer to Yerushalayim, the whole section follows Yerushalayim. So therefore, even though the line goes smack through the middle of Australia, since part of Australia follows Eretz Yisrael, all of Australia follows Eretz Yisrael. Since China is a landmass which is connected with Eretz Yisrael, and since even though there's part of China which theoretically should be on the other side, but since we don't split a landmass, we keep all the landmass on one date. But Japan is not connected to anything. It's its own freestanding island. It's all of it is on the other side.
And is Hawaii supposedly, is it equal to Japan somehow? Or
Depends who you ask. Right?
I mean, is my question stupid or
your question is not stupid? It's just that you were asking for a very complicated, detailed discussion in 3 minutes or less, and then you're asking frustrated questions about it.
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to understand.
So obviously, I trust me that it works. And Iraq is not a question. One day, if you want, we can make some time. We can discuss it more about length.
His whole book's on it.
What?
His whole book's on it.
Wow.
I mean, books like the stick. Okay. So that's the basic argument. There's a few other opinions besides that, but those are the basic.
In other words, it doesn't pay to even go to Japan or Hawaii because you'd just be making all kinds of problems for yourself.
Well, not you can go on a Tuesday; it's not a problem. The problem is either.
Yeah, basically from Sunday.
Okay.
From,
yeah. Well,
from Monday to Thursday, you're fine.
Yeah. Okay. So, a person wants to make a marking on the page with his fingernail pressing against the paper. So we just said masartate is a problem, so that, why isn't that a form of masartate to some extent? Or maybe it's a kaisiv, because you're making a marking on your page. People would do that to make a marking, to look over here on the page or something like that. My Rashiba of Chaim used to do that, actually. The only person I ever saw do it.
What?
But he says it's mutter to do it. The Mishabura says mutter. Some would disagree and say no. The argument is it's mutter because it's amiskayim, but it does last for a while. I mean, eventually, when you close the book, it's eventually that depression that you make on the page rubs out. Chavdal lishem b'tziburin. Adavka b'shima kein kav ba'alma. This occurrence sheyesh b'zeh eza to sefer. You just want to put a line. It's not really writing, it's just a line. So that's mutter. Well, lasers come in ois. If you're gonna draw it with your fingernail, to press into the page a form of a letter, that's vali also. I feel about even one letter is going to be osir. And the fact that it's not miskayim would not make a mutter, make it a derbonim, wouldn't make a mutter. Shame is in miskayim. Now, the reason why it's mutter is because they're writing on parchment. Parchment was thick and strong, so whatever you press in is going to the compression will be eventually bounce back and obliterate any marking which is there. But on something which is softer, which holds it for longer, that's also. There's not a way custom on the cloth. Well, then yours is also the miskayimu, but on the paper that's also okay. With dafka b'tzipur, now and even the heter by the cloth is only if you use your fingernail. Well, im roishem beis a kli shoyser reshima amuka b'yoyser. If a person will use some type of blunt instrument, which will make a deeper depression in the cloth. Afal cloth eats is also the minker hate bu miskayim. So that's going to last. So that's a problem. Okay, that's the end of Kosev. Vov. Chut shel tefira sheniftach. So you have a stitching which started to the pieces of cloth which are being held together with the stitching started to come apart. So you want to grab the tail end of the thread and pull on it, which will then by connect together the two pieces of cloth, which are starting to separate because the stitching is becoming a little bit loose. So it's also lamaskai. You can't pull on the thread to bring the sides back together again. Mishum tifer, because that's tifer. That's what tifer is combining two pieces together through the act of tefira. So that's what you're doing by pulling on the thread. That's considered an act of tefira, bringing everything together.
Oh, tefira is what would you say? Stitching? How are you
sewing?
You're sewing. Tefira.
Okay. Mishmur chavav the moshe. Okay. Hanu shenispar d'shtei chatichos habegad zumizu b'mixus. The two sides of the cloth. The two pieces of cloth are starting to distance themselves from each other slightly because the stitching is no longer tight, so they pull away from each other. And the stitches are being loose. So he wants to pull on the edge end of the thread, which will then bring the two pieces of cloth back towards each other. That's what he wants to do. And we're saying that's also to do on Shabbos, Mishum Teifer. So this is called not the Rabbanan, this is the Raisa. Now, so the Mishabura, but it has to be Miskayim. If you're talking about the fact that the thread was pulling apart, what's to say when you pull together it's going to last? He put a knot to hold it in place. I feel like even if the knot itself is not shakam, he's not chayav for making the knot, but he's is chayav for the tefira. Aval b'loy kasher klal is potter. That if there's no knot at all, this act of pulling it, tightening it together, is not chayav at a Torah level. It's potter, and it's also, Shartin says it's also. The mispar the shalosh tefiras of masochan chayav af b'loy kasher. Now, if it's talking about multiple stitches, so the more assume is that when you pull on that, even though maybe the last stitch might eventually pull out again, but the earlier stitches, which have been brought together, will last for quite some time. So that's called miskayim, even though there's no knot at the end. Okay. Va'agav nevayr ksas din tefer. Mishnah Berurah says, while I'm at it, let's talk about tefer a little bit. Tefer shtei tefiras is chayiv. The Mishnah says that the shear for tefer is two stitches. So that the stitch is going in and going out. That's called two stitches for our purposes. Okay? So the Mora says that doesn't really last. He has the two pieces of cloth, he goes in one time, he goes out one time. It's not gonna stay, it's gonna pull out. So the Mora says, Husha Kosher Rosh Yachut Mikan Mikan Kadeshul Tishmak. It's only Chayiv if he also tied off the ends, therefore the stitch cannot pull out. I feel Allah Shakam, even if the knot itself was not a knot the Kesha Shakayama, but he's chayav for tefer. V'im hoya shakayama, if the knot was shakayama, so he's chayav gam mishum kosher. He's not only the over tefer, he's also over kosher. He made a knot, and he sewed the stitch. V'chol zelen yichiyuv. It's all disgusting whether the person would be chayav. Avon yin yisur yesh armim the osa afila lo osa kesher klal. Some say it, even though it's going to eventually wiggle out, for now it's considered significant enough of an act. That's also min rabbanan. Okay, and also my notion should take when hakrais imabeged b'machat b'shteit kivus lav shaper ovdi. So the Karban Sadal's opinion is a person uses a safety pin. So, and he sticks it in twice to hold two things together, and he goes in and he goes out. Mm-hmm. See, even with only two stitches, it's also to do that. Karban Sadal. Now, this issue of using the safety pins with Shteit Akivas, there's a Chazanish which is Mekel. He says that since it's a metal and it doesn't really absorb, sort of like meld together with the garment, to use stitching, it's sort of the stitching becomes sort of like holds together with the garment, and it becomes like one unit. Over here, it's holding two things together with a piece of metal. It doesn't become that. It doesn't have that same type of amalgamation which takes place when you use soft thread which contours together with the garment, etc. So that's not considered the malach of tefer according to the Chazanish. So the Chazanish is make on it, and the Mishnah Berurah follows the Karban Asanel. The Karban Asanel was the one who pointed this out, and he was machmer on it. Fine. Also, shalosh tefiras chayav af li kasher sherin niskayem es hatefira. That the Gemara says, the Rambam quotes it, that three stitches already is considered that it lasts long enough. That's considered shakayom, and that it's that's going to be chayiv.
And again, a stitch is essentially one in and one out, so it's essentially six, I'll call it, directions.
Three is no, in, out, in.
Oh, all right. So it's, all right. Because I thought you said before that a stitch was one in and one out.
The two stitches is one. It's one. Is two stitches means one in, one out of two stitches.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Zion. Oysen shemahatim and begadim sovis v'yoseim ayidei machutz shemoskan v'yosei umishadik. So they have something like a cinch at the end of the garment, at the end of the sleeve, where you can cinch it around your arm and make it tight. So it's also the mask elim in kain yu on the kavim rechavim ksas umutukon and betfira be'igol. So if this is clearly not an act of pulling the garment, the cloth together, this is that it functions to open and close like this, to get tighter and looser. So that's what it looks like. It's mutter. If it doesn't look like you're actually pulling, just tightening the cloth, it's osur. Well, how do you tell that? If the holes which the thread, the string, which you use for the cinching purpose, is large a little bit, and it runs in some type of a, you create some type of a path for it to go into, and the holes themselves are stitched around to be that they should last, indicating this is now become, this is how your garment functions, that you can pull on the two ends and tighten the thing around your arm, etc. Otherwise, it looks like you're pulling together cloth. That's a problem. They had put a string around the end of the sleeve. When they'd pull on this the string, they'd pull on it, and they would tighten the end of the sleeve around your arm. There's only mutter with rechavim ksas if there's a certain amount of width to it. It's sort of loose. We may sukkon it. Those end of the klal tefer doesn't look like tefer. Tavi kiman the machdis crossim belulos. It's more along the lines of, we don't say that if a person takes hooks and puts them into loops, it's called tefer. It's clearly two distinct things which are right now holding something together, but they're not melding into one unit. It's two different things. Keeping the mesukin lezeh betemidus lemoskul lahatkoi. So the same thing over here. It's made to use to do this open and close, tighten and loosen all the time. When you wear it, you tighten it. When you want to take it off, you loosen it. So that's called. That's not called sewing. If, however, you're not tightening it very tight, and therefore it's possible to actually take off the garment, leaving it that level of tightness, so and a person plans to leave it like that for a while, that already is a problem. You can't do that on Shabbos. So, if the holes are rechavim ksas, and the openings of the holes have been sewn around, have been stitched around to give them a certain amount of permanence that the holes can stay with it. So, therefore, you see that you want to keep the string there to be used as a way to tighten the sleeves as opposed to actually sew. Fitvira, some of the neck of it, they're stitching around the hole. Well, as I feel, achut tochu b'macha nakuba. So you have at the end of your sleeve, you have this channel which can be made out of loops, or can be made out of a piece of cloth, and you take a needle with a thread and you threaded through all of that, and you pull it tight, and you tighten it. So why doesn't that look like Tofer? As you're putting, threading the needle with the thread, or you're threading the thread through all of these, loops, or through that channel. Why is that a form of Tofer? She says, since it's made to do this constantly, and the opening that it goes through, the hole that it goes through into the channel, is sewn around, that it clearly has a permanence to it, and it's traveling through something which is a little bit wide, so it's not your normal stitching, that you're just stitching directly into the garment. You're giving the space for it to travel, and it's made that there should be a channel for it to travel in. So that's not considered a problem. So even if you would have a needle and a thread there that you take in and out, and Mishnah Berurah seems to say that's mutter. Now, what about the fact that you're carrying? So now the person goes outside wearing that coat with this needle and thread stuck to it. It says, since that it always stays there, it never is removed, that becomes part of the bag, and that's not considered carrying something.
Meaning the needle is never removed, even though we just described the case where you're removing, you do remove the string.
Right. But the whole thing hangs there. Okay. Okay. Ches muchin shenaflu min hakesis mutar lachzirim. You have a mattress or you have a pillow and it has stuffing inside of it, and some of it came out. Some of the stuffing came out. You want to stick the stuffing back into the pillow or into the mattress. So that's muchin, or the soft material which came out of the pillow. Mutar lachzirim, you're allowed to put it back in. I will also leave them bitkilo bekesis. But if you have a pillowcase, a pillow, and the pillow, the actual pillow, the way you make a pillow is you basically stitch up most of it, the sides. You leave one end side open, and you put all the stuffing inside, and then you sew off that last end. If you haven't put that stuffing in yet, that's an issue of the raisa to put that in on Shabbos.
Why?
Lamed Aleph, Makav Hatish. Muchin, Lamed Aleph. Kol davar rach kari muchin. Anything which is soft, the soft material is called muchin. Gan semer gefen. It could be cotton, various begotten bluim, or worn out pieces of cloth. Okay, gavna, wood and noises or feathers. You can put it back into that. If they were in the pillow before Shabbos and they came out, you can put them back in. But you can put them back into the same one, the one that it came from. You obviously cannot sew it back. It's not considered like you're making something. It was there already. But if it's there mitchila, you're putting. If it never was there yet, then he's now introducing the stuffing into the pillow. Now you're making a pillow. And so Mishnah Berurah says yeshu zeh chiyuv d'oraisa. This would mean this is the raisa of making the item. That goes under the malacha of Makav Hatish or Berna, one or the other. Okay. Modern version of this is blowing up balloons. First of all, to blow up a balloon on Shabbos is that.
You're saying it's usher?
So Rabbi Asher holds it as usher. You know, it goes into this din over here that you're the way that the balloon functions is, even without the tying it down, the malach of I'll tie it down with a bow at the end so it's not considered kosher. But it says, but you're making the balloon, whatever you want the balloon to be, you need to add something to which wasn't there yet before Shabbos. So that, so Shlomo Zalman has to just think, what about a case where your balloon which you blew up already and then the air came out, it deflated, and now can you inflate it a second time? Does it have the same heter as so Shlomo Zalman actually held yes, so, which is a chiddush. He said, you can't call you making it into a kli, it really was a kli.
The balloon is already a kli, it's just a question of whether you fill it or not. I mean, a balloon that doesn't have any air in it is still a kli. It's just a kli with nothing in it. No?
It's a pillow. It's the pillow which you have not put the stuffing in yet.
Okay, that could be kind of the same concept, yeah.
Well, we're saying over here that's a chiyuv d'oraisa to put the stuffing in.
Why? And I don't understand that. Why? Why is it? In other words, if I don't sew it shut, if I take all the the stuffing, and I've got a pillow like a pillowcase, right, where the one side is open and the other three or four sides or whatever it is are sewn shut. And I just stuff stuffing into it, but I don't sew it shut. What have I done? Well, how is that an isser? I don't understand.
I have the pillow, which I have not stuffed yet. And I put the stuffing in on Shabbos.
Right.
And I have a pillow. I didn't have a pillow before. I had the beginnings of a pillow. I had the beginning of the process of a pillow. I've completed the process. There's one more. Another step.
Not, it's not really complete until you sew it shut. You didn't sew it shut on Shabbos.
The sewing will be chai for the sewing, but definitely I've moved it from a stage to being dysfunctional to being functional. You can put your head on it now. Before you put your head on it, it's this thick.
Right.
Now it's a pillow.
Okay.
So you definitely added a whole new layer of existence to it, which wasn't there beforehand.
I mean, essentially the pillow was a kli that was an unfilled kli before, and now you filled it. But
okay. And a balloon is an unfilled kli, which you now filled it.
Right.
So that's exactly what he's saying. He feels they're analogous.
But so following that logic then, if you had the pillow that you filled and then the stuffing fell out of it before you sewed it shut, presumably on Shabbos you could then refill it again.
Well, that's what we're saying over here. Mochon shenafel min hakest is mutar lachzir. You're allowed to put it back in. That's the Shulchan Aruch. That's where we're starting from. The Shulchan Aruch says, if the stuffing came out, you can put it back in. It's only necessary to make it lechatchila. But to put it back in is mutar as long as you don't sew it on Shabbos. So now, do we look at? But you can put the same stuffing back into the same case. So. In the case by the balloon, you're not putting the same air back into the same space. So,
highly unlikely, yeah.
So Rabbi Yasha said it's also every single time. Shlomo Zalman held that once it had been made into a balloon, which had been blown up one time, even though it deflated, it still has this heter of putting it back. But it's a big kiddush. Okay, Tess. Also, lekabe tzemelach mi'misrafoy tzemelach. So you have your desalination plant. You would make shallow pools of seawater, and then the sun would
evaporate it,
cause the water to evaporate, and you were left with salt there. So now you have salt which is sitting there. You want to go gather salt. You cannot gather that salt on Shabbos, even if the evaporation took place before Shabbos. So it's not an oil issue. It's not a mux issue. Right? The salt is there, but the idea of gathering the salt is also why. So, one of the lamas has malachas. It says ma'amer. Ma'amer is that they would gather the sheaves after they would reap the grain with the stalks. They would gather the stalks together and make it into bundles. So, the act of gathering something together, and we'll see as we go along. So, you have apples which fell under a tree, and take those apples, you put them into a basket. That's ma'amer. That's gathering the fruit. That's the malach of ma'amer. So now it applies to gedulei karka. Salt is not gedulei karka, but it looks like ma'amer. You're gathering together all the salt. So they asked it mirabonim. Okay.
Would this be a problem? Is this why they hold that certain board games are usher? Because let's say if you're,
it's only the first from its place where it grows.
Okay, but the salt didn't grow there. The salt is from the sea.
I understand, but the fact that it evaporated there and then it as it where it came into being in this place, it parallels Mirabanan, not the rice. So Mirabanan, it parallels this is like a place where it grew. This is a place where it was made. All right. Let's hold that for tomorrow.
All right. Tomorrow, same time, same station.